Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, everyone, it's great to have you with us today. Today is our final week where we focus as a church on Thanksgiving. I tell you, we have so much to be thankful for. Now, even in moments of challenge, even in seasons where we don't understand why things are going the way they are, maybe it looks like it's the opposite of reasons to be thankful. When we really look, when we really step back and see what God has done, what God is doing, we all have reasons to be thankful for. We serve a great God. God says His goodness and mercy have been following you every single day. And can I say, including the ones that we would label as bad ones, His goodness and mercy were your companions. And so as a church, we wanted to take a moment and take a season and focus on great thanksgiving to God and just saying, God, we are grateful for, we honor you, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. And so as we bring this home today, my prayer is that you would be encouraged, you would be reminded of the power that thanksgiving is in our lives. Psalm 100, it says to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Everyone say thanksgiving. It says enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. I tell you, thanksgiving and praise, they are not a personality-driven response. They are not an energy level-driven response. They are not an atmosphere-driven response. It is a response to what Jesus has done in our lives, that because He's good, we can be thankful. Because He's kind, we can be thankful. Because He's a miracle-working God, a providing God, a protecting God, a loving God, a comforting God, we have every reason to be thankful. And so I hope today that thanksgiving would rise up in your heart and you'd be so bold, so grateful, so filled with praise to what Jesus has done and what He's going to continue to do in your life. Now, in Revelations, we read this in Revelations 12, verse 11. It says, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They overcome by what Jesus has done. And look, religion skips that part, says, look, you overcome by what you do. You overcome by your works. You overcome by how hard you work, how good you are, how many mistakes you avoid, how many kind things you do. It skips the fact that it all starts with the fact that Jesus overcame. You and I, we can be overcomers because Jesus overcame. It's all from Jesus, all for Jesus, all ultimately flows to Jesus. But it says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus did on that cross, that He overcame sin, overcame pain, overcame guilt, overcame sickness, overcame death, overcame isolation. Jesus overcame on that cross, and we can overcome because He overcame, and we ultimately then overcome by the word of our testimony. We can have a great response to what Jesus has done. Now, this word testimony, in the Message version, it puts it this way, they're overcome by what Jesus has done and by the bold word of their witness. You know, in our lives, we've got the power of what Jesus has done, and you and I, because of Jesus, have a bold word of witness. You know, I like a good legal show or legal movie like The Next Person, but in every court, there are times where they get a witness and put that witness on the stand. And everyone, you know, questions them and grills them and interrogates them. Some attack them. Some try to undermine them. Some try to ruin them. Some try to discredit them. But a witness is there to present evidence. They share their perspective, their experience, their factual perspective, their factual interaction with whatever was going on. And it is their evidence that helps put a brick in the defense. It helps them put another layer of truth towards the argument. And they are put there not to share a story, but they are there to share the evidence of their witness. They share a bold word of witness. Now, in our lives, because of what Jesus has done, we can have a bold word of witness. Your testimony is incredible. Your testimony, your thanksgiving, your experience is a force that, yes, the enemy will try to attack, try to dilute and ultimately try to silence, because he doesn't want you to understand the power of your thanksgiving, the power of your praise, the power of your bold word of witness to your world, the power of your bold word of witness that you can share that is undeniable. You know, Jesus would, in the Gospels we read, would heal people, deliver people, provide for people. So many stories, so many moments of Jesus doing what only Jesus could do. And in the moment of their miracles, people would have incredible reactions, incredible responses. Sometimes they were emotional reactions, whatever it was, but there was this gush of thanksgiving. Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are my provider. There was this incredible moment where we see people's humanity truly exposed as they respond to what Jesus has done. And sometimes people would say, Jesus, please let me come with you. Jesus, you healed me or you delivered me. I'll follow you. I'll come with you. And Jesus would actually say, no. You've got what I've given you. You've got the blood of the Lamb. You've got the testimony of what I've done in your life. But I actually don't want you to follow me now that you've got the overcoming of the blood of the Lamb, the Jesus miracle. I want you to go home. And he would send them home, overcoming with the blood of the Lamb, and now with the bold word of their witness. Jesus would send people home to their families, to their workplaces, to their schooling environments, their friendship circles, to the people that saw them before Jesus as dysfunctional, sick, in pain, lost, sometimes even toxic, poisonous. And these people got an immediate experience of before and after. They would go home, and all of a sudden these people would see this person now with the bold word of their witness. And I'd encourage you, if Jesus would send people in the word home to their family and their friends and their workplaces, now with the powerful word of their witness, I tell you, in our lives, as Jesus does things, as we've got so much to be thankful for, let's never underestimate the great thanksgiving, the great praise, the great glory to God, the great experience and evidence that we have that I was this, but now because of Jesus, I am this. That I didn't have this, and now because of Jesus, I do have this. That I was burdened with this, but now because of Jesus, I'm free of this. That we have the overcoming of Jesus, and we have the bold word of our witness. And I want to unpack this today of four places that your bold word of witness, that your celebration of what Jesus has done, that your thanksgiving, it can be shared in an incredible way that is even a weapon and a force for the kingdom of heaven. Number one is to tell others. Number one is to tell others. You know, I love the story that we read of the blind man in John, where he was a man who was blind from birth. No one, including himself, had ever known him to exist where he wasn't incredibly and entirely reliant on everyone around him to help him. And Jesus helped him. And we know the story that was actually on a Sabbath. And so the Pharisees get all upset. His parents are freaking out. People are interrogating him. It is absolute mayhem, as it would be if you had a friend who their whole life had been blind. And then through one momentary, unexpected interaction with this Messiah, Jesus, was suddenly given the gift of sight. And they're interrogating this man. And he says in verse 25, they're asking him to explain how he did this, explain how it happened. And he replied, I love this, so simply, he says, look, whether he's a sinner or not, speaking of Jesus healing him on the Sabbath, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. The one thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. What he's saying is, you can argue it out, you can thrash it out, you can get yourself all wound up, all freaked out, all emotional, but all I know is that I've got a bold word of witness that I was blind and now I see. You can tell me a whole lot of things, you can argue a whole lot of things, but you can't get around my evidence. You can't get around the power of my witness that I was this, and because of Jesus, now I'm this. And this man went back and to the Pharisees, to his parents, to his friends, to every single person that had ever known him, He shared his testimony. He shared his thanksgiving. He shared his story. He shared his evidence. He bore the powerful word of his witness to people and gave glory to God. And I encourage you, you might not know and feel the pressure of how do I share my testimony. Be like this man who didn't feel any pressure, didn't bow to the pressure to fill in the gaps. He just said, I was this and now I'm this. You can have a whole lot of gaps in the story, but this is my miracle witness. This is my miracle testimony. Your testimony can be so powerful to people's lives. I want to say there'll be some people who will remember your witness to what Jesus has done in your life more than any sermon they'll ever hear, more than the incredible sermons that are on Impact Online. They won't remember any of it. They'll remember the day that you, with incredible authenticity and honesty and simplicity, shared the story of what Jesus has done in your life. You can be a lighthouse of grace, of strength, of healing, of kindness, of compassion, of love, simply by bearing the witness of what Jesus has done in your life. So share your testimony, share your story, share your battles, share your breakthrough, share your faith, share your healing, share your heart, because Jesus did it and sent you with it. And your witness is an incredible thing that can be used to impact your world for Jesus. Number two, tell others. Number two, tell yourself. Tell yourself. I don't know about you, but I am always forgetting things. I mean well, but I'm a forgetful person. So on my iPhone, I'm always saying, hey Siri, remind me when I get to work to do this. Hey Siri, remind me when I get home to do this. Hey Siri, remind me when I get to the supermarket to buy this, 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 this. Tam is often texting me list of things to do, list of things to buy, list of things to remember to do. And it's not that I am not well-meaning. It's not that it's not a priority to me. It's not that I don't want to. It's just Phil Newman forgets. I think we all have a tendency to forget sometimes important things. And we have to be people who remember to bear our witness to ourselves so our soul doesn't forget. So when we're in a dark day or a hard season or a dark valley, that we bear witness to ourselves of what God has done and that He'll do it again. In Psalm 103 in the New Living Version, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget. May I never forget the good things He has done for me. And it lists, He forgives my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. It goes on to remind himself of what God has done. Hey, what's God done in your life? I think sometimes we're quicker to recall the tough times and the attacks and the problems we have than we are to remember the great things that God has done. Don't forget. Set a reminder, write it down, stick it on your wallpaper, stick it on your wall, tell yourself, remind yourself, set your anniversaries up in your phone, whatever it is to remind yourself that God's done things in my life that we may not forget, that you can preach to yourself the greatness of God. Number three, tell others, tell yourself, and tell your future problems. Tell your problems. Preach to your problems. You know, God has done it before and He will do it again. God doesn't have good days, bad days. God doesn't have seasons where He's particularly in the mood for blessing and seasons where He's particularly not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that did the miracles that you've experienced and the breakthroughs that you've experienced is the same God with the same nature, the same heart, and the same ability that is in your life and around your life today and into the future. So let's treat our problems like they are in the company of a problem-solving God. Let's treat our problems with the let's give our problems the degree of platform that they rightfully deserve, which is next to nothing. Jesus doesn't dismiss our problems. Jesus lords it over our problems, rules over our problems, reigns over our problems, and heals and delivers our problems. Our problems should never get the airtime that I think we can very easily sometimes give them. In Psalm 126, it's put in the Message version, it seemed like a dream, too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them, they said. God was wonderful to us, and we are one happy people. So the psalmist here is talking about the great things that God had done. Now it says in verse 4, and now God, do it again. So they had seen God do great things. Now they were in a drought season, dry season, and their focus in this psalm isn't on the drought, isn't on the problem, isn't on the barrenness, isn't on the need, but God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives so that those who planted their crops in despair will shout yes at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home with laughing and armloads of blessing. God, you did it before. Do it again. Hey, preach to your problems. Remind your problems that God is a problem-solving God, that He's done it before and He'll do it again. If you're sick, He's healed you before and He'll heal you again. If you are in need, He's provided before and He'll provide again. If you are confused, He spoke to you before and He'll speak to you again. Preach to your problems. Don't give your problems the heart space or the head space that they are screaming for, that they are whispering at. Hey, dismiss them. Put them in their rightful place, which is under the feet and the Lordship of Jesus, that He's done it before and He'll do it again. That's the power of thanksgiving. It keeps our eyes and our heart attention off the problem and onto the Savior, the one who does it all. Look at me. I want you to understand that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He starts things and He finishes things. And He'll finish your destiny, finish your journey, and finish His promise for your life in Jesus' name. Number 4, we need to tell God. Tell God, the reigner over everything, the ruler over everything, that He is a God that deserves the glory. God, you have absolute glory and I give you absolute credit. You know, you go to a movie and the last 5-10 minutes of the movie is actually a whole list of people's names, of everyone, special effects people and costume designers and cinematographers and a whole lot of actors and a whole lot of people that went towards making this project. You know, when it comes to the miracle destiny of your life, it is a very short credit list. One, Jesus. There's one name that gets the credit for your life. There's one name that gets the credit to deserve the thanksgiving, to deserve the praise, to deserve the glory, and that is Jesus. Other people, including sometimes us, we try to claim the credit, try to add our name to the list. But if we step back and look at it, we've got to understand and remember the fact that there is one who gets the glory, that when we bear our witness, there is one who made it possible, and that is Jesus. And when we bring our glory, when we bring that glory to Jesus, oh, it's worship. Jesus, I give you the glory. Jesus, I give you the honor. Jesus, I give you the praise. Jesus, I give you the worship. I give you the platform. I give you the credit. I take all the credit away from circumstance, all the credit away from myself, all the credit away from money, and I give the credit and the glory and the worship to you. It says in Revelation 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Jesus, the one who made it possible, and the witness to what He's done in our lives. If you don't know Jesus, all of this is just religious works. All of this is just trying and trying and trying. And you know you can't heal your sin. You know you can't fix up your mess. You are looking for the way out, looking for the way through. And I want to tell you today that the only way through it all is Jesus. And if you need to give your heart to Jesus, respond to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have sin and I need forgiveness. I've got a mess and I need help. If you need to come to Jesus today for the first time or again, I want to pray for you, because it all flows from what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for those who need to get their hearts and lives right with Jesus today. And I pray that they would receive your forgiveness, receive your grace, and receive your peace in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Hey, make sure you tell someone about your decision for Jesus. That moment you've stepped over, I want to encourage you to share your faith and share your decision with someone. For us all, I pray that we would have great thanksgiving. Psalm says to enter His courts with thanksgiving, to enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Let us have great gratitude, great thanksgiving to what Jesus has done and let us share our witness with others, ourselves, our problems, and give the glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week, and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.